Bibles, please, for our second reading to Job chapter 18. Job chapter 18, verse 1, hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. Then answered Bildad the Shuhite and said, "How long will it be ere ye make an end of words? Mark, and afterwards we will speak. Wherefore are we counted as beasts and reputed vile in your sight? He teareth himself in his anger. Shall the earth be forsaken for thee? And shall the rock be removed out of his place? Yea, the light of the wicked shall be put out, and the spark of his fire shall not shine. The light shall be dark in his tabernacle, and his candle shall be put out with him. The steps of his strength shall be straightened, and his own counsel shall cast him down. For he is cast into a net by his own feet, and he walketh upon a snare. The jinn shall take him by the heel, and the robber shall prevail against him. The snare is laid for him in the ground, and a trap for him in the way. Terror shall make him afraid on every side, and shall drive him to his feet. His strength shall be hunger-bitten, and destruction shall be ready at his side. It shall devour the strength of his skin, even the firstborn of death shall devour his strength. His confidence shall be rooted out of his tabernacle, and it shall bring him to the king of terrors. It shall dwell in his tabernacle, because it is none of his. Brimstone shall be scattered upon his habitation. His roots shall be dried up beneath, and above shall his branch be cut off. His remembrance shall perish from the earth, and he shall have no name in the street. He shall be driven from light into darkness and chased out of the world. He shall neither have son nor nephew among his people, nor any remaining in his dwellings. They that come after him shall be astonished at his day, as they that went before were affrighted. Such are the dwellings of the wicked, and this is the place of him that knoweth not God." May God add his blessing to the reading and to the hearing of his most holy word. So we have then the second answer in the second course, Bildad the Shuhite. I mentioned Dr. Charles Butler a moment ago. It's interesting that it was Dr. Butler that taught me that, that Bildad being a descendant of Shuah would have then been a descendant of Abraham through his wife Keturah after Sarah had died. That one of the offspring of that marriage, I think second generation, so grandson of Abraham's, would have been a man named Shuah. And Bildad is a Shuhite. So he would have had the influences of special revelation through that family line. Very interesting to think about, especially as Bildad stands up here and completely misses the mark with Job, doesn't he? Well, he misses the mark again. This is indeed more of the same. They have come to the point in their conversation where you've heard me characterize this as the "you shut up" portion, right? Job has already said, "You are the people and wisdom shall die with you." And he's also said, "Will there never be an end to words?" And now what does Bildad say? How long will it be ere you make an end of words? Mark, and afterward we shall speak. This is high sarcasm, right? What does Bildad say? Job, we'll just be quiet until you're done. Tell us when you put a sock in it and then we'll start to speak. This is kind of what Job is hearing now from Bildad. There is some pretty strong sarcasm. The three friends of Job, if we can call them that, they don't take too kindly to being told that they are utterly missing the mark with Job. As for Job, he doesn't take too kindly from being told that he is a wicked sinner, that he's done something worthy of this horrible providence that he's received. And so right now, they're at the point where they are in a way speaking past one another. Right? They're not really addressing one another. They're repeating the same things, including, "Oh, I wish you would be quiet." Okay? So this is not what we would call a high point in their conversation. And yet it is instructive for us, isn't it? It's instructive for us, number one, that we learn not to repeat ourselves. Right? What are we saying when we're speaking to someone, even about something that's really important, and after we've said it maybe once or maybe twice, we continue repeating? Well, we make the mistake of thinking, what, if I just repeat it one more time, or maybe this time you'll finally understand me, or something like that, right? Oh, if you only had more education, oh, if you only listened better, you would come to my side. Okay, well, often that's not the case, isn't it? Often, as we have all heard, you have two ears and one mouth. Use them in proportion, right? Use them in proportion. In other words, be swift to hear, slow to speak. This is something that in this debate, these men really have developed a kind of blameworthiness. He exaggerates Job's disagreement with them as if to disagree with them. In disagreeing with them, Job counts them as beasts. Job has not said as much. But there is an exaggeration going on as well. And so another negative example not to follow. Job, why do you call us beasts? Well, he really hasn't. Okay, and so there's that. So Bildad shows an unhearing ear, a reluctance to move off of his position that Job is a wicked sinner. He speaks as in an inflammatory way. He speaks of Job as a madman. He tears himself in his anger. Right? Look at what, and it is as if Bildad starts out. He speaks to Job and he says, "Tell us when you're done speaking, and then we will speak." And then he turns to the friends and he says, "He tears himself in anger," like that, as if Job is somehow not worthy of such address. Okay, so what are we seeing? We're seeing quite a disagreement here, quite a fight going on, quite a battle of words between the two of them. He sees all things through his own lens and demands that the natural courses be turned out of their way for himself. Let me show you what that means. Okay, I have that in my notes, but let me show you what I meant here. Shall the rock be removed out of his place? Shall the earth be forsaken for thee? In other words, Job, you have sinned so grievously against God that this is the natural course of things. And your complaint against it is as if you were saying that the rock should be turned out of his way and the earth should be drawn out of its course. Okay, so notice the extremity of the language here from Bildad. All right, so then Bildad goes on to say some things, as we have heard before, that are, in the general sense, quite true. If you're speaking generically about the wicked, everything Bildad says here is true. The problem is he's speaking of Job. And Job is not that wicked man. Job is not that man whose light shall be put out in obscure darkness and so on. We know that because we've read the end of the book. We know where Job ends up. We know what this course is pertaining to Job. The difficulty with Eliphaz and Bildad and Zophar is that they cannot see it. They cannot see beyond the providence that Job is suffering, that God might have in his pursuit of his righteous servant Job something else in mind. All that they can see about Job is that he's wicked. And they can't see that God might have something else in mind. So they have assumed exactly the worst about their so-called friend that they came to comfort and indeed have become miserable comforters. So then he goes on to say things about the wicked that are absolutely true. They are true in that general sense. What does he say? He says, wicked men may turn for a short time, but not absolutely. The wicked will stumble and be taken. Their strength shall not deliver them. And in every case, he's looking at Job and he's implying, just like you, the wicked are subject to the king of terrors. No matter if they for a time seem to dwell securely, they shall be terrified with the firstborn of death. His confidence is a vain thing. Job, you should not be confident. You should be terrified. Every time Job addresses the Lord and cries out in confidence, it has been grating on his friends. The wicked shall wither away in the inward and outward part. His remembrance shall be no more. His name shall not be spoken. Even his relatives will deny him and they will disavow being related to him. He had such a wicked reputation. And there are those that are astonied. Astonied, that's an old English word. It means that they are so shocked by it that they become like a stone. That's what astonied means. So those that come after Job will be astonied at him. So he says those things, and as they apply to Job, they are in error. And yet, as they apply to the wicked, they are in some sense true. So let's make some uses and then we'll be done with this reading. First of all, let's stay on point and let's hear our opponent. As we said earlier, two ears, one mouth, use them in proportion, right? Be swift to hear and slow to speak. Second, know that this is the end of the life of the wicked. It is true. Bildad has described the end of the wicked correctly. But let us be careful with that. Do not boast yourself against the wicked. We're never given leave in Scripture to do something like that. We are to remember that there but by the grace of God go I. Right? That the sins that we see being played out in our society, it is indeed that Pharisaic reaction to such sins that says, well, I'm not like that. I'm not like the people of the land. Right? I'm separate from that. And so I'm better. Oh, we'd never finish it with that last phrase, would we? And yet, it's rolling around there. So what has Bildad done? He has elevated himself above Job and above the wicked. It is okay to call out wickedness for what it is, but that humbly. So he's left off humility. Know also that the wicked have a fearful expectation of judgment and indignation. So we don't want to be them. We don't want to be like them. And then finally, note that Bildad puts a righteous man in these categories. And so we must beware that our judgments can be false. We must keep them and look to the Lord and apply to the Lord for wisdom rather than simply spilling out what we believe to be true. You've all done this, maybe. I know I have. I've made a snap judgment on someone. I've adjudged them wrongly. I've imputed wickedness to them only to find out other circumstances that imputed rather wickedness to me instead. This is not the place we want to be. We want to learn to give folks that benefit of the doubt. We want to, as we come up to our reading in 1 Corinthians 13, we want to hope all things and believe all things with regard one to another. Instead of what we see Bildad here doing with Job. All right, thus ends the reading then of Job chapter 18.